Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. In at least 26 communities, sidewalks soon no longer will be graced by that weekly local newspaper on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. That's because newspaper chain Gannett will stop printing at least 19 weekly newspapers in eastern Massachusetts after the first week of May. They'll go all digital. So if you're in Needham, Newton, Bedford, for example, this means your Times or Tab or Minuteman. Gannett is also merging 9 other weeklies into 4. They say they have to in order to maintain the, quote, sustainable future of local news, end quote. But others argue that it is a further hollowing out of community journalism in Massachusetts and across the country. Among those others, Dan Kennedy, professor in the School of Journalism at Northeastern University and blogger at Media Nation. Dan, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
So let's start with why we need community journalism, why we need these local papers to land on our stoop, Dan.
Well, you know, really, local news is the glue that binds together communities in many ways. If we don't know what's going on at City Hall or Town Hall or at the school committee or the local police department, then we really don't have the information that we need to take part in local elections, govern ourselves, and even connect with our neighbors. So this is really vital stuff that's being cut.
So there's this term that's increasingly heard when we talk about community journalism, local news, Dan, this idea of a zombie paper. And you argue that many of these papers were already zombie papers. Tell us what that means, and why do you argue many of them were?
They really were. And another term that often gets used is ghost newspapers. And the idea is that many of these papers were already printing very, very little in the way of local news. What they would tend to do is print stories from other parts of the network. Gannett is, the flagship of Gannett is USA Today. And you see all these bylines that say USA Today Network. And you might be flipping through your local paper and seeing stories from 10, 20, or 30 miles away that are of no relevance to you whatsoever.
So I want to push on a couple of things there. And I guess the first is, if that's already where we are, why the sense of loss over, you know, 19 weekly newspapers going all digital instead of the print version if they're already zombie or ghost papers?
I wouldn't disagree with you. This is just another step on the road to hell, isn't it? I should say that this announcement comes just several weeks after Gannett told the reporters at its Massachusetts weekly newspapers that almost all of them would be reassigned away from their local beats and onto regional beats so that all of their work could run in more than one paper. And as a result, you know, you wouldn't have that hyperlocal coverage. In addition to that, the rhetoric that you see coming out of Gannett is that they are going to be just as committed to covering local news on their digital platforms as they were in print. Well, that's not very reassuring given how little news was in these newspapers. So, I am far from somebody who's nostalgic about print, but they already were doing very little, and I don't think we're going to see much on their websites either.
So I'm going to play with that a little bit first. Years ago, I lived in Bedford. I would read the Bedford Minuteman. You would find out there was the police blotter. You would find out which restaurants were closed for, I don't know, a sanitation violation. You know, you'd hear about the little local museum that was opening up. Where do people get that information now? I understand you've also laid out the hard-hitting stuff, the school committee meetings, or, you know, if it's a Brookline, it's a town meeting, right? Are you saying you just can't get that stuff at all now?
Well, it's funny that you could used to live in Bedford, because Bedford has one of the better independent nonprofit local news websites, the Bedford Citizen, and you can get all of that stuff in the Bedford Citizen. And there are many, many communities that do have independent news outlets of one kind or another. The Bedford Citizen is one of the best. So people in Bedford had already moved away from the Bedford Minuteman. And I don't know that they're really going to miss it because they're already reading the Bedford Citizen.
And I do want to flag that in a few minutes after we're done talking, we're actually going to look at the New Bedford Light, New Bedford being different than Bedford, but also yes, an independent digital local journalism platform. So I want to flag that for listeners. All right, so we looked up a couple of recent headlines in two of these papers that are no longer going to be in print. So the Newton Tab, after a year, Newton Fridge sees no drop-off in need. That's a food refrigerator and freezer community effort in Newton. Needham Times, there's a humanitarian crisis going on. Needham Ukrainian immigrant calls for action. Do you believe that these stories will not be there anymore when the Needham Times and the Newton Tab move to digital form? Is it a slippery slope and they might be there for a year, but a year from now you're not going to see those headlines? What's the worry in those instances, for example?
Well, as I previously mentioned, the reporters for those papers have already been told that they're going to be reassigned to regional beats. So if those kinds of stories are part of their regional beats, I suppose that though they will continue to be on their websites. But we're looking at with these papers, we're looking at 25 or 30 years of one round of cuts after another, in many cases preceding Gannett's ownership by many years. So the idea that the cutting is now going to stop, or that it might even reverse itself and they begin to grow again, whether it's in print or online, that's a wonderful thought, but it's really not borne out by experience.
So bear with me for a second. A couple years ago, my daughter and I are in Washington, D.C. We went to the Newseum, which is no longer open, but was at the time. And you'd go up to the top floor, and there was this set of frames from all 50 states. And on any given day, you could see the front page of a newspaper from all 50 states and what their headlines were. And it was striking, Dan, to do that because, A, many of the states had the exact same stories, literally the exact same stories, even though they were from different states. And you could almost map out on the country the region the headline came from, given its bias. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, we talked a couple weeks ago with Seti Warren, who was mayor of Newton at one point, talking about the nationalization of local politics, of local issues, up into these camps. When we lose really hardcore community journalism, do we run the risk of that bias and that national lens seeping down into everything?
I really think we do. And I believe that strong community journalism can be a way of overcoming the horrendous polarization that we're experiencing in the country right now. The old cliche is that there isn't a liberal and a conservative way to pick up the trash. Everybody wants effective trash pickup. Everybody wants good school systems. Everybody wants a strong police department that nevertheless respects the rights of citizens. Those are issues that ought to bring us together. Of course, as we are increasingly seeing, issues of schools and police are becoming caught up in that polarization. And to the extent that we have less and less reliable local news, the fear is that that polarization will only increase.
So where's the glimmer of hope for you, Dan?
The glimmer of hope is really in these independent projects. I recently put together a spreadsheet of every independent local news project in Massachusetts I could find. And I was really stunned to see that something like 200 communities in Massachusetts have something. And I'm not even counting the big media outlets like the Boston Globe or WBUR or GBH News. I'm just really looking at the hyperlocal projects. Now, some of them are better than others. The New Bedford Light is one of the better ones by far. The Bedford Citizen is one of the better ones. But I think it's heartening that there are all these projects out there at least trying to tell the story of their communities in a independent way without being caught up in the downward spiral of corporate chain journalism.
All right. Our producer, Walt Withman, tells me we can link to your spreadsheet on our website, radioboston.org. That's Dan Kennedy, professor in the School of Journalism at Northeastern University, blogger at Media Nation. Dan, so great to have you on. Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So those are the sounds of the final mass at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Church in New Bedford, 117-year-old Polish church, and it is the subject of a new short documentary film out today from the New Bedford Light, which we were just talking about, a nonprofit digital newsroom in New Bedford. They launched to great interest last summer after the paper in New Bedford lost nearly almost 80% of its staff. Were they a new alternative that could keep local journalism alive? People were watching. We spoke to the Light's editor, Barbara Rossner, last summer when they launched, and we wanted to check back in today to see how it's going. Bobby Rossner, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So you launched that new documentary series today. This comes on the heels of a couple of big stories that your newsroom has unearthed. We'll talk about one of them later. From the outside, it looks like this is working. How would you characterize it? Have you been successful in this first year?
Well, I have to say, after 40 plus years in the newspaper business, it is absolutely a joy to be creating something new and inspiring and different and free of the baggage of the legacy outlets that have to put all that money into paper and ink and trucks and gasoline and distributing the print paper. We are free of that. So our efforts and our the money we've raised through the generosity of individual donors and foundations is going into content, into creating stories. That's a very different financial equation. And I have to say, when we launched, we had an idea. We had a dream. We had a goal, a vision. But we didn't know if it would work. And I have to say, it is working.
So let's
and what I'm seeing, it's not just the New Bedford Light. I'm seeing good journalism work. It works on the ground.
What does that mean to work, Bobby?
Well, to work,
that it's working
means, well, that's it has many different forms, but the primary one is the effect of accountability journalism. It's a term that gets thrown around a lot, but really what it is holding government officials and powerful people to account for their actions and their deeds. In order to make a better community and inform the community and empower the community. And I am seeing our very small but very talented and avid team of journalists make a specific difference. I'll give you a quick, very simple example.
Do, yeah.
When the state, at the height of the last COVID surge, the state, without any explanation, pulled the plug on, I think, four vaccination clinics in New Bedford, which has one of the lowest vaccination rates in the state. And we wrote a story about it. We couldn't get anybody to tell us why. They wouldn't answer us, but we wrote a story about it. And within 24 hours, those clinics were reinstated because of what we did, because we just got the information out there. And then there are other examples where it's far more complex. The effect of the stories we write, and we will be talking about the South Coast Health Hospital CEO.
Yeah, so let me pick that up there.
Resigned, but,
yeah, so yeah. We've got the CEO of South Coast Health, former CEO, Keith Hovind, originally arrested on charges around domestic violence. When the police are there, they find legally possessed firearms, but also a cache of magazines, feeding devices, ammunition. The police have since pursued illegal charges against the feeding mechanisms and some of the ammunition. And you found that it's impenetrable what's happening to him at South Coast Health and what's happening to those charges in courts, right? And you've been trying to expose that.
We have. We have been chiseling away in many areas, trying to get public information into the hands of the public. I think what we're seeing in New Bedford is the result of the decline of an aggressive local news organization, where public officials, be they government or corporate or nonprofit institutions, don't feel responsibility for explaining themselves to the public. So we haven't been advocating for Keith Hovind to be charged or convicted or removed from his job, but we have been advocating for getting information into the hands of the people that this hospital chain serves.
So is and the idea... go ahead.
That's all right. I mean, you know, we have taken various legal steps to get information about what happened to the complaint that the police department filed against him to get charges filed on the ammunition charges. And whatever happened to that complaint and those potential charges happened in a secret court. It happened behind closed doors. And we don't know what it is.
And is the idea,
Something's wrong with that.
Yeah, is the idea that if you don't have community journalists paying very close attention, then local elected officials are less transparent and they can be less accountable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's where we get the term watchdog journalism. They need to know somebody's watching. They need to know that somebody is going to question them and find out the information on our own. We're an independent news organization. We file public records requests all the time to try to get, again, public information into the hands of the public. And it can be exceedingly difficult. And, you know, I listened to Dan. He made some great points there. I'm in agreement with all of them. But what we're doing in New Bedford at the New Bedford Light is really very different from many other nonprofit community news organizations. We are doing attempting to bring really hard-hitting, in-depth, investigative, and explanatory journalism to our small, very dazzling, but largely poor, largely immigrant city.
All
and
right.
We're also trying to cover the local culture, which I think is really, really important. You know, from the arts to the waterfront fish prices to street fashion portraits and the documentary on the closing of a 100-year-old church in New Bedford.
So, I mean, Bobby,
so we're not covering the meetings.
All right, Bobby Rossner, editor of the New Bedford Light. Thanks for catching us up after a year on how it's going there. We will check in again. Thanks so much.
Excellent. Thank you.